Blog Talk Radio.
Observing the Shabbat, we sure are over here in Tennessee. Shabbat Shalom, hallelujah. How am I coming in, saints? Those of you that are in the house, hallelujah. Please give me a sound check. Hallelujah. 11, very good, hallelujah. Brother Ugly, welcome, saints. Pray that you're doing well, enjoying the Sabbath, enjoying the message. What a beautiful another Shabbat message that was just off the charts. Hallelujah. I surely enjoyed it. I had several takeaways, that's for sure. Several takeaways. Hallelujah. Well, saints, pray for me. Pray the Father gives me the utterance to express to each and every one of you out there listening in of what the Father has laid on my spirit. I truly tell you, this is definitely an age of reckoning of the just and the wicked. Definitely an age of reckoning. Well, saints, I'm going to continue on Age of Pluralism. And it's because I truly believe that if we don't understand what is going on to our souls, the fight, the war against our souls, the war against the saints, we truly will miss out. We truly will not understand what the Father has in store for us. Hallelujah. The age of pluralism, which is the word pluralism, has to do a lot with coexistence. There has been, over the ages, a heavy push for people to dwell in harmony. Regardless of what society you were brought up in, there has always been a push for people to accept multiple beliefs, multiple cultures, and to all dwell together. And we see that even in the book of Jasher expressed quite explicitly about the kingdom of Nimrod. And so we need to understand the day and age, what is required of us? What is required of us, saints? What is required of us? You know, also alongside pluralism, I want to talk about or address toleration. You know, if you look into the annals of history, you could see in every captivity, after the children of Israel had violated the covenant, violated the one covenant the Father had for his people, you can see how the leaders or the rulers or the kings of the nations, if you can see that in the Persian Empire, you can see that in the Babylonian, how they tolerated, how they put up with Yahweh's people, as long as Yahweh's people could also accept these new elves. And so, which bridges us right back into the discussion or the talk about pluralism, the talk about coexistence. So in this captivity that we're in, I'm not going to go too much into history, but it's pretty evident as you read through all these captivities, we're in a captivity right now. And what we stand for, the Father, I mean, we know that we are clearly, pastors mentioned this over and over, that we're living in one of the easiest captivities. I mean, it's super green on this side. It's super green, but we truly don't understand the freedom and the liberty that's been given to us because we don't understand. Again, we don't understand the fear of Yah, which we're going to delve into. We're going to touch on the fear of Yah. And Pastor also went into it, not much in depth, but still addressed the fear of Yah. Saints, we have to understand this one basic thing going on. The fundamental thing going on is that there is such a spirit of discord. The age that we live in, there is this act of abomination, as mentioned in the book of Proverbs. There is this, people are gravitated to this discord. What is this discord? Let me address what discord is. Discord is this, there is understand there is this main message being preached. Here comes Joe Schmo, Brother Joe Schmo, or whoever the case be, preacher, teacher, faction, all these different belief systems. You know, Pastor touched on false societal beliefs a few Shabbats ago. Here comes the spirit of discord. It's being sown into the people, whether you are in the way or whether you are in the world of unbelief. One way or another, the spirit of discord is very, very real. What is this act against? It is against the unity in Yah that we ought to have. The very thing that Yahshua mentioned in the book of Acts, as is mentioned in the book of Acts, especially when you read Acts 1. We were commanded to be in one accord. From the beginning of time, there is one message being taught and shout upon, and that is to be in harmony with Yah, to be in one accord with Yah. What does that mean? To be in one accord with His people. And there is this serious war being waged upon people across the board, whether that is whether you are a believer or not, whether you're in the faith or you're walking by sight. Regardless of the situation, there is this global push, there is this global agenda against the soul of man that is to bring humanity together, to appeal to the minds of man, to the mind of man, that the world of antiquity, the world, the olden, the world of ages past, the Rock of Ages is of no appeal. I was just trying to address this to a brother today, how the great push, even in the arm of military, has always been to go into societies and convince the young minds that the eldership or the men with the old hair is just white hair is to not be respected. I mean, it is old fashioned. It is of no appeal. It need not be regarded because in it there is no monetary value. This is the belief system that is being pushed everywhere. I mean, we already know, those of us that are in the ministry already know, there is such a war against what the Father has the shepherd, pastor, and the elders doing. I mean, there is a war, even though it's not very visible, it is evident. We can tell how there's always these wicked men, there's always these wicked spirits lurking around, okay, for the souls of men to make merchandise, to pull people away.
Yes.
There is it's so magnetic. I mean, when I step away and go into the Christian realm, that's what the society is. The society is heavily Christianized.
Yes.
It's very Christianized. When you step into the Christian world, whether you are from the West or you're from the East, the main appeal, the mainstream agenda is, what is the new thing on the block? Okay? What is this new thing? According to our word, the word that's been given to us to heed to, the preacher says in Ecclesiastes, we'll go there real quick and read for verbatim. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Hallelujah. Okay, we're still getting 10 on the charts here. Okay, so Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 10.
says, is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. It has been already of old time. Okay? Which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. The thing that, see, verse 9 says, the thing that has been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. So what is the greatest, what is the message being taught on a mass scale? That there is something new. The push for people to move away from the old and accept the new. Okay? This is the push of the day and age that we live in, saints. We need to understand that. You know, I was also sharing with a brother today. I never heard of the word bored till I came to America. It just helped me. And as I was walking my spiritual walk, I made a promise before I came to this country to myself that I'll be on fire for the Father, that I'll be on fire for what is written in this book. You know, yesterday Pastor was talking about how in 1994, how the Father visited him and the Holy Spirit stirred up in him, moved him to a point where he seriously started seeking the truth. And as he shared that last night, it hit me hard because that was the year that I came to the States. And before I had come to the States, I was fasting and praying that I would never compromise my faith. And so 1994, here is 1994. The Father's already preparing a shepherd for my soul. Somebody who would guide us on this earth that we live in. Somebody who would help us. And I was sharing with a brother today. Where would we be if it wasn't for our pastor? Where would we be? We would be still in the hood that we live in. We would still be hitting the streets. We'd be still going to church hopping. We'd be still vagabonds. But those of us that had ears to hear, we knew that, wait a second, there is one thing written in the Word. Why are these organizations in existence that is contrary to the book? You know, that was the main thing that I remember asking those questions in the mid to late 90s. There was a man of God that actually told us, gave us a word of knowledge saying that you are to not go to any churches. You are not to go to any American churches. That was the word that was given to us. You know, and to take heed of your soul and to watch out, for there's too many erroneous doctrines in the West. This is a man of y'all that told us this back in the East. So saints, what I say that to say that there is a serious spirit that is sown into the hearts of men, whether you are in the faith or you're not, to pull people away, to cause such an uproar against the work of y'all. Against the work of Yah. Ecclesiastes clearly says, we just read Ecclesiastes 1, verse 9 through 11. We're going to stay in that book. So in other words, is there anything new under the sun? Is there anything new under the sun? Ecclesiastes 7 says, lo, this only have I found, that Yah has made man upright. But they have sought out many inventions. So this is a turmoil that we have put ourselves in. Mankind is not content with the Creator. And the problem lies with man. The problem lies with man to rise up against Yah, as it says in Romans. Vessels of vessels. Is it in Romans? I can't quite recollect. But, there are these vessels prepared for destruction. And the sad thing is that man is not cognizant. Man is not discernful of the pattern of Satan. That is what Satan is alive and well, convincing man every day. Every day he is wooing and attracting man to this new thing. I mean, for the past few shows that I've been emphasizing technology. But Satan right now, even as we speak, is causing man to fall for the new thing. Every day, he is convincing man, yes, there is something new under the sun. Yes, there is something new under the sun. The preacher in Ecclesiastes clearly says, vanity of vanities. In chapter 8, verse 9 through 13, what does he say? All this, chapter 8, verse 9, says, all this have I seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man rules over another to his own hurt. So I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear Yah, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he fears not before Yah. So, in this Christian society, in this compromising society, in this society of pluralism, in the society of us being forced to coexist with the wicked ones, how do we clearly understand the fear of Yah? What is the fear of Yah? Is there a desire for the fear of Yah? Is there a desire, as Pastor, I want to echo on what Pastor preached today. You know, the main thing that he preached today is for us to continue in that one-mindedness. You know, we've been getting this message for the past good few Shabbats. Whether he was heavily touching on marriage, biblical marriage, or moving into a different, in scripture study, the main thing has been this one thing. Yahweh has always intended his people to be of one mind, because he cannot do his work, he cannot receive glory if those of us that are saying that we are his and walking contrary to that unity. But you see, this is the way Satan is strategically moving in this day and age, is to cause us, that's what Pastor says, those that leave this ministry, they leave this to go into a world of coexistence. They will take, again, exactly what Satan does with the truth. He takes it and he puts his twist and it holds it in unrighteousness and causes many to fall astray. And so, what is this fear of Yah? Why is the fear of Yah in this day and age that we live in have such a negative connotation, have such a negative appeal? Oh, you don't have to fear God. You know, you have to reverence. I mean, why do we have to put a modern twist to everything? Why do we have to redefine the Most High Yah? Why do we have to take the Creator and put it in our box? Why do we do that? Because Satan has a heavy pull on the soul of man, causing man to redefine Yah and to entirely change the truth. Saints. And so if we don't understand what is going on, the worst is yet to come. If we don't understand what Satan is doing today, we're going to completely lose the value for the fear of Yah. The truth is, the value of for the fear of Yah is found wanting. It is so true. When we have such problems among us when it comes to accountability, you know, when we have such problems among us, when we are told to do something, you know, and as Pastor emphasized today, you know, like what Brother Al was saying about, you know, many things that Pastor says, it is for our own good. But we take what is said, it's like, oh, Pastor's speaking in suggestive terms, so, oh, let me just, you know, I'm going to do this with my own understanding and see what turns out. You know, but here's wise counsel given to us, yet we want to put our own spin to it. And this goes back to the way our minds have been shaped and fashioned from the beginning of time. And this, we can see this in every society. We can see how, especially now, bringing it back to what we're talking about, spiritual desire is found wanting. I want to stay with what, I want to echo on what Pastor touched and taught and preached on. We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 3. And then after that, we're going to go to Psalm 111. 1 Peter chapter 3. One Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Hallelujah. Now, I was addressing this today with a particular brother. I mean, you know, Christians are slick. Christians are real slick. They think that they can run away from the Old Testament, as they phrase it. But the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of mandates. There's a lot of laws right here. Law of the Spirit is alive and well in the renewed covenant. Even in the gospel and in the letters is very alive and well. Look at what Peter has to say. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Okay, now saints, why am I delving into these things? Is for us to understand the fear of Yah. See, the fear of Yah is not just, you know, is not just, it's not of a blanket statement. Like, you know, we read from Psalm 111, we'll go back and read it. You know, A lot of times when we read, the fear of Yah is the beginning of wisdom. This is wisdom. Here, Peter is parting to us an awareness that is needed among wives. And in verse 7, he talks about husbands. Verse 3, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the truth, of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of Yah of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, here's the old time, for after this manner in the old time, here Peter is giving credence, special emphasis to the old time. The holy women also who trusted in Yah adorned themselves being in subjection unto their own husbands. See, this word subjection is heavily rooted in the fear of Yah, saints. We have to understand there are these characteristics needed among the people of Yah in order to really truly understand, wow, there is a fear of Yah found within the camp. See, the absence of the fear of Yah is because we are simply a disobedient generation. This is why the power of Yah and the move of Yah is also found wanting. Okay? Verse 5, for after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in Yah, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Master, Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Again, he goes into us compelling, exhorting us to be of one mind. Saints, what we need to understand is that Yahweh expects his people to walk with such conduct, okay, to walk in the Spirit, you know, explaining what does it mean to walk in the Spirit. You know, the clear sign when we are not in subjection, when we are not subject, we don't subject ourselves, okay, it is a clear sign that we're not walking in the Spirit. Pastor also touched on the same book, in the same letter, Peter. We go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. He says, servants, we're all servants, hallelujah, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. So there is an expectation of us. You know, even in a work environment, the calling upon Yahweh's people is to subject ourselves to our employer. You know, as long as they're not compelling us to violate the laws of Yahweh, we have to subject ourselves to what they're asking of us to do. You know, when we have this fear of Yah, we become Yah's standard in every environment that we're in. So, in this age of coexistence, we won't fall for the new thing on the block. Okay? We won't fall for the, you know, I found myself explaining to a brother. I mean, if we're not diligent, oh my Yah, if we are not diligent, if we're not diligent in this day and age, that we live in. There will come a time when work environments will force its employees to, in fact, get vaccinated, to, in fact, compromise our faith. This is the pluralism that we're talking about. Pluralism is not necessarily a religious thing, saints. It has to do with culture. It has to do with society. There is a push. This is why it's called the global agenda. This is why it's called the World Wide Web. It's forcing, whether you are up for y'all or you're against y'all, there is a singular push. And that singular push is this one thing, causing the masses to compromise and come together under one banner. I was just explaining to a brother this morning, under the Department of Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security, DHS, here in the U.S., under the bill of Obamacare, they are trying to push this new thing in it where they're going to send agents out door to door asking people, where is your medical card? Where is your medical card? And if you have children, most of us in the faith have children, they're going to ask for the medical card, and obviously, you know, it's going to have to explain we're either covered or we're not covered. So, saints, we are definitely living in an age of they're tolerating us. Whether you have Obamacare or you don't. Whether you have weapons or you don't. Whether you stack food or you don't. Whether you're a prepper, you're not. Whether you're a survivalist or you're not. They're tolerating all factions right now, saints. They're tolerating a lot. Just as Pastor mentioned today, Yahweh is tolerating the nonsense, a lot of the nonsense that's going on in our lives. Why? Because we have an intercessor. We have an advocate before the Father. What do you think the advocate, the King of Kings, is doing on our behalf? He is imploring for us. He is pleading our cause. You know, the blood of the Lamb is upon us. The blood of the Lamb is upon us. Therefore, we are still granted mercy. We are still granted mercy in this age that we live in, saints. We have to understand what is going on. The appeal for the old is waning. Okay? The appeal for the old is waxing cold, is being put out. That candle is about done burning. And what we need to understand in this day and age is that the worst is yet to come. And we don't understand even today's message. It really, the expectation is for Yahweh's people to dwell together in unity. You know, before the physical has to happen, minds have to come together. The minds have to come together. As it says in Ecclesiastes, we're going to go back to Ecclesiastes, and then we're going to go to Psalm 111 to understand the fear of Yah a little bit more. Hallelujah, saints. I pray that this is blessing you all. I pray that this is, in fact, helping us understand what our expected end must be. What is, what are we purposed in this life, in this walk, in this, in the way that we're in? You know, how can we rejoice? How can we continue being upright? How can we keep ourselves from this untoward generation? Ecclesiastes chapter 12 says, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yeah. He gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, okay, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. There's a lot of meat right there. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is awareness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You know, we can take that one verse. That is a paraphrased version of this entire book. This entire book is a covenant. It has to do with covenant. That means with covenant, with an agreement, comes obedience, saints. With this agreement, with this covenant that we're in, comes humongous, intense level of obedience. Verse 14, for Yah should bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We're going to go to Psalm 111. Praise you, Yahweh. I will praise Yahweh with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The work of Yahweh are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Okay? His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. Yahweh is gracious and full of compassion. He has given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. Okay, and we're going to touch on the word heritage or inheritance, just not in depth, but we will try to understand that here in a little bit. The works of his hands are verity, okay, which means of fundamental importance. Okay, the works of his hands are of great importance, saints, and judgment. All his commandments are sure. Okay, in other words, verity also means truth. So the works of Yahweh's hands are truth and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. See, and that's what I want to emphasize. I need to emphasize the word covenant. The word covenant has to do with, is eternal. This promise Yahweh has upon his people. We that are his portion. It is an eternal commitment the Father has towards his people. Hallelujah. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. That's verse 10. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Hallelujah. Let's see here. There is an article that I want to read. But saints, what we need to really truly understand is that before I get into that article, I need us to understand how important today's Sabbath message was. It has to do heavily with us staying true to Yahweh What does that mean? It's staying true to his people. That's what it means. Staying true to Yahweh means staying true to his people. Okay? We are servants. We're compelled to walk in obedience. Hallelujah to the Most High Yah. That's what the word subject means. Those of us that are in subjection, brothers, elders, pastors, direct obedience to the Most High Yahweh. If we can't be walking in obedience now, we are definitely proving ourselves to be liars. We're definitely proving ourselves to be liars. So what we need to really truly understand, the value for the fear of Yah is found wanting. Okay? There is a spiritual desire that is missing in action. The spiritual desire. You know, Pastor shown a bunch of pictures today of the stages, of the stages of this obedience that is written, you know, as he delved into, what is it, Jeremiah? Jeremiah chapter... Yes. Jeremiah chapter 29. You know, there in it lies what one must do in this captivity. And obviously that's the Babylonian captivity. Nevertheless, what are we to do in this captivity? Here are men of wisdom. That is, here is a shepherd. Here is a pastor who is literally showing us. Here the Father is doing a work through this man. And we need to have ears to hear. We need to have this desire to obey. We need to have, again, a spiritual desire. I'm going to read one more quick passage here. You know, there is a level of appreciation that is missing. There is such, we're such a blatant, you know, blatantly we disobey. Blatantly we have these inordinate desires. We're living in such a callous generation where people explain everything away. Well, here I'm getting ready in a few minutes. I'm going to read an article that is going to really, truly put things in perspective. You know, we talk about the age of pluralism. You know, and it's going to be quite shocking what is going to be here in the next 10 years if Yahshua's coming tarries. And you know what, saints? We truly are the ones that is stalling the king's return. Do you know that? That is the exact truth, saints. We are standing in the way. We lack belief. We lack faith. We lack works. We don't want to walk in this righteous judgment. That is the truth about us, saints. That is the truth. You know, when you know, I touched on this with one particular brother today. Genesis chapter 3. Hallelujah. Here after this, we'll go to a quick break. Water break. Or tea break, whatever the case be. Anyway, saints, Genesis chapter 3. We're going to address how important it is for this desire for both, you know, the womankind. Because there's so many things that's just despised. There's simply a lot of things that's just downtrodden. Okay, that's just trodden under feet. You know, they've made humanity as swine. They have caused us to just not value, you know how many disgruntled customers I get coming into the store, into the business. They come in, these customers come in, and they're just disgruntled patriots. That's what they are. They're just very disgruntled. I mean, a good few of them are actually ex-military. They're just simply disgruntled, Saints. I try to be empathetic. I don't go into much with them because it's a business environment. You got to be wise as serpents, innocent as dove. But saying the truth about it is, there's a lot of disdain for what, you know, the environment that we live in. You know, we quickly get bitter. We quickly get malicious. We quickly learn to complain. We quickly learn, you know, our nature of murmuring. I'm just talking about the fallen state of man, the works of the flesh. Okay? Here in Genesis 3, it starts with, I'm going to start at verse 12. I'm going to start at the blame game, how the sissy, wussy man starts his blame game. Okay? Blame game starts in verse 12. Forgive me, saying sometimes I cannot be really scholarly with you. I have to just tell you how weak-ass men are, okay? Because sometimes scholastic just doesn't reach, you know, this pretending that's going on. Anyways, the wussy man, the sissy man says, "The woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And Yahweh said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me." You see how this blame shifting is going on? Man blames woman. The woman blames Satan. You know. "And Yahweh said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise her heel, his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Saints, you know, I think about the blessing and the curse as I delve into these verses. You know, we can quickly explain this away, you know, as, you know, Yahweh just cursed humanity. But if you clearly understand this, you know, we're going to, a passage in 1 Timothy comes to mind. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety." Okay. Go to chapter 5, 1 Timothy 5, verse 14. "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give not occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." Okay, period. Going back to Genesis chapter 3. So, saints, the reason I'm addressing this is because there is a desire There is a natural desire. There are many things that need to be done in the natural in order to actually grow spiritually. There is a level of obedience required in the natural realm that will translate into the spiritual maturity that you are walking in. You know, a greatest test to see if one is walking by faith is to look at their works, to look at the fruits of their, you know, the fruits on the tree. Hallelujah. And if the fruit is actually ready to eat, ready to consume. Verse 17, Genesis 3. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and also dust shalt thou return. So, saints, there's a lot to be said there, but we are in these last days where you can see a serious acceleration of wickedness. There is a serious push for all people on earth to subscribe to what Satan is doing. There is a serious push for it. You can see the heightened sense of the effeminization of man. You can see how the truth is trodden upon. You can see how Yahweh is mocked. And as saints, we truly have to understand the seriousness of banding together. You know, these messages on unity wouldn't be preached if it is found wanting. Unity among the saints is found wanting. The love of Yah that is supposed to be in the minds of us, obedient ones, are still found wanting. Or else we wouldn't be getting these messages. Hallelujah, saints. I'm going to step away for a minute here. And we'll come back here pretty soon. Hallelujah. Let's see.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G. T-O-N, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E, 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Bless you, saints. Hallelujah. Welcome back. We're talking on the age of pluralism. Okay. In other words, the age of coexistence. In this age of toleration that we live in. I mean, that's a lot as far as a title. But saints, what is required in this day and age is the fear of Yahweh. Hallelujah. We are lacking in a lot of wisdom, okay? We can see what the Father is doing and bringing together the pieces. But are we ready? Are we ready to receive? Are we ready? Are we coming with an expectation? Or are we getting gullible? Are we getting gullible each and every day? Because the fact of the matter is, there is something going on, like as Teacher Shane even mentioned today. A pastor brought that to our attention, what Teacher had found on the shelf at Walmart. Okay? We don't eat shrimp. Hallelujah. Thank you. But on the shrimp package, it says, what was it said? Produced or made by genetic engineering. And Pastor's been saying for quite a while now, why are they modifying us? What are they doing to the environment? What are they feeding us? I mean, we are living in a day and age, if we are not self-sustaining, we are at their beck and call. We are at their mercy. We have no choice but to be indebted to the modern day context, the modern day captivity that we're living in. Hallelujah. But I meant to actually go into the subject of transhumanism last show. But what is transhumanism? Okay, or in other words, this particular article goes into saying, or what does it mean to be human? Do you know, saints, that the word humanity is literally being redefined? You know, I touched on the word natural desire, you know, but what is being celebrated in this day and age that we live in is inordinate desire. This particular article calls it unnatural humanity, unnatural human. This is what is being pushed. Believe it or not, this has been going on actually with the dawn of technology since 100 years past. There's so much that's been going on. Okay, I'm going to quickly read through this article. Bear with me, saints. Those of you that are super smart and already know this subject matter, bear with me. Be patient with me. I'm not as smart as you are, but here we go. What does it mean to be human? Biology has a simple answer. If your DNA is consistent with Homo sapiens, you are human. But we all know that humanity is a lot more complex and nuanced than that. Other schools of science might classify humans by their
sociological or psychological behavior. But again, we know that actually being human is more than just the sum of our thoughts and actions. You can also look at being human as a sliding scale. If you were to build a human from scratch, from the bottom up, at some point you cross the threshold into humanity. If you believe in evolution, at some point we ceased being a great ape and became human. Likewise, if you slowly remove parts from a human, you cross the threshold into inhumanity. Again, though, we run into the same problem. How do we codify, classify, and ratify what actually makes us human? Does adding empathy make us human? Does removing the desire to procreate make us inhuman? If I physically alter my brain to behave in a different, non-standard way, am I still human? If I have all my limbs removed and my head spliced onto a robot, am I still human? Okay. It says to go and read the article, upgrade your ears, elective auditory implants give you cyborg hearing. Go back, go and read that article. At first glance, these questions might sound inflammatory and hyperbolic, or perhaps surreal and sci-fi, but don't be fooled. In the next decade, given, again, let me go back to the top here. This was written in 2013, so it's still current. Okay, but nevertheless, he says, the author of this article says, in the next decade, that means what, 2023, given the continued acceleration of computer technology and biomedicine, we will be forced to confront these questions and attempt to find some answers. Transhumanism is a cultural and intellectual movement that believes we can and should improve the human condition through the use of advanced technologies. One of the core concepts in transhumanist thinking is life extension. Through genetic engineering, nanotech, cloning, and other emerging technologies, eternal life may soon be possible. Saints, the reason I'm touching on this article is for us to understand the regime of Nimrod, the Tower of Babel, is still alive and well. All this is in motion to slap Yahweh in his face. Okay? A war against the saints and really vex the patience of the saints. We are either going to stand for Yah or we're going to compromise. Okay? Going back to this article. Likewise, transhumanists are interested in the ever-increasing number of technologies that can boost our physical, intellectual, and psychological capabilities beyond what humans are naturally capable of. The term transhuman. Transcranial direct current stimulation, TDCS, for example, with speeds of reaction times and learning speed, by running a very weak electric current through your brain, has already been used by the U.S. military to train snipers. On the more extreme side, transhumanism deals with the concepts of mind uploading to a computer. And what happens when we finally craft a computer with greater than human intelligence, the technological singularity? And then he says, go read the article, How to Create a Mind or Die Trying. Beyond the obvious benefits of eternal life, beyond the obvious benefits of eternal life or superhuman strength, transhumanism also investigates the potential dangers and ethical pitfalls of human enhancement. In the case of life extension, if every human on Earth suddenly stopped dying, overpopulation would trigger a very rapid and very dramatic socio-economic disaster. Unless we stop giving birth to babies, of course, but that merely rips open another can of worms. Without birth and death, would society and humanity continue to grow and evolve, or would it stagnate, suffocated by the accumulated ego of intellectuals who just will not die? Likewise, if only the rich have access to intelligence and strength-boosting drugs and technologies, what would happen to society? Should everyone have the right to boost their intellect? Would society still operate smoothly if everyone had an IQ of 300 and 5 doctorate degrees? As you can see, things get complicated quickly when discussing transhumanist ideas, and life extension and augmented intelligence and strength are just the tip of the iceberg. Saints, don't think this is bizarre and this is not going to happen. Okay, the since the Obama regime, there is a lot that has already happened. One of the last things that he said before his term was up, I don't know if those of you that remember the leader of this world, okay, Barack Hussein Obama, okay. I got to get his name right, said before he stepped away was to legislate or have an executive order in place against the confiscation of guns. So, and that also goes along with what I mentioned earlier, that DHS now actually is enforcing their workers, people who work for DHS, okay, to in fact be weapons ready, weapons qualified. Every officer, DHS officer, is going to be weapons qualified. And so that only tells us that all this is accelerating. Everything is accelerating into a world of tyranny, There's going to be just a mass separation between, just between those who are in and those that are out. Going back to this, just look at the world, the transgender ideology. I mean, it's already launched. I mentioned this in the previous show. We're talking about how do we deal with this transgender, stage or phase that we're in the military. How do we actually deal with it in an ethical fashion? I mean, these are the talks, Saints. I'm just sharing with you what is current. Okay? So don't think what I'm reading, this article, is actually bizarre. This is going to be a soon reality in this world that we live in. Listen to the rest of this article. It'll really shock you. This philosophical and ethical complexity, stems from the fact that transhumanism is all about fusing humans with technology. And technology is advancing, improving, and breaking new ground very, very quickly. Humans have always used technology, of course. Our ability to use tools and grasp concepts such as science and physics are what set us apart from other animals. But never has society been so intrinsically linked and underpinned by it. As we have seen in just the last few years, with the advent of the smartphone and high-speed mobile networks, just a handful of new technologies now have the power to completely change how we interact with the world and people around us. Humans, on the other hand, and the civilizations that they build more relatively slowly. Move relatively slowly. It took us, the article says, it took us millions of years to discover language and thousands more to discover medicine and the scientific method. In the few thousand years since, up until the last century or so, we doubled the human lifespan, but neurology and physiology were impenetrable black boxes. In just the last 100 years, we have doubled our lifespan again, created bionic eyes and powered exoskeletons, begun to understand how the human brain actually works, and started to make serious headway with boosting intellectual and physical prowess. We've already mentioned how TDCS is being used to boost cranial capacity, and we've seen in recent years, sports people have definitely shown the efficacy of physical doping. It is due to this jarring juxtaposition, the historical slowness of human and societal evolution versus the breakneck pace of modern technology, that many find transhumanism to be unpalatable. After all, as I've described here, transhumanism is almost the very definition of unnatural. You're quite within your rights to find transhumanism a bit, well, weird, and it is weird, don't get me wrong, but so are most emerging technologies. Do you think that your great-grandparents weren't wigged out by the first television sets? Before it gone to the name television, one of its inventors gave it the rather spooky name of distant electric vision. Can you imagine the wariness in such passengers approached, in which passengers approached the first steam trains, vast mechanical beasts that could pull hundreds of tons and moved far faster than the humble but state-of-the-art horse and carriage? The uneasiness that surrounds new paradigm-shifting technologies is not new, and it has only been amplified by the exponential acceleration of technology that has occurred during our lifetime. If you were born 500 years ago, odds are that you wouldn't experience a single societal shifting technology in your lifetime. Today, a 40-year-old will have lived through the creation of the PC, the internet, the smartphone, and brain implants, to name just a few life-changing technologies. It is unsettling, to say the least, to have the rug repeatedly pulled out from under you, especially when it's your livelihood at stake. Just think about how many industries and jobs have been obliterated or subsumed by the arrival of the digital computer, and it's easy to see why we're wary of transhumanist technologies that will change the very fabric of human civilization. Anyways, Saints, there's a little bit more to this article, but nevertheless, it goes back to what I mentioned earlier, how we are going to be pushed into a society where we will be forced to compromise. We'll be forced to compromise. These messages are coming forth to, in fact, bring Yahweh's people close. Okay? It's to bring Yahweh's people closer. You know, we have to stop coexisting with the demons. We can say, oh, yeah, I'm not part of the coexistence. But believe it or not, we got plenty of demons that wants to coexist with us daily. Okay? That's the truth. And we can say all we want. We can be super spiritual and say, oh, yeah, you know, look at the damn Christians. You know, look at this, look at that, you know. Yeah, I'm not a Muslim, or thank you, I'm not a Christian anymore. But have we dealt with the demonic activity, the lies that we're told every day to our mind? You know, and are we clearly the people with circumcised hearts? Or are we running away, as Pastor said, are we running away from the scalpel? Are we running away from instruction? Are we running away from rebuke? I remember when I was a little boy how I would, you know, duck and dive, you know, do everything I can to take cover from my dad. And same thing, you know, Sissy Adam did. When Yah was shown up to, in fact, have a conversation with him, he's MIA. He's busy taking cover, busy hiding behind his wife's skirt. So, let me see if there's any more meaningful things here to read in this article. Oh, yes, I have to read the rest of this. I have to read the rest of the sayings. And this has heavily, this has to do with what Pastor was trying to say. You know, and he mentioned children. He mentioned these untainted ones. He mentioned if these children, if there's going to be hope, it's going to be these children that's coming behind us to, in fact, learn to be skilled, learn to be wise, learn to maintain, and learn to stand for the truth. It's going to be these little ones. But listen to what, let me go ahead and finish reading the rest of the article. The fact of the matter is that transhumanism is just a modern term for an age-old phenomenon. We have been augmenting our humanity, our strength, our wisdom, our empathy with tools since prehistory. We have always been spooked by technologies that seem unnatural or that cause us to act in inhuman ways. It's simply human nature. That's true. That's a true statement. That all changes, listen to this statement, that all changes with the children of today. However, to them, anything that isn't computerized, digital, and touch-enabled seems unnatural. This is so true, saints. This is very, very true. A lot of these Christian mega churches, everything is so oriented. If it ain't on the big screen, it's not worth going. If it's not going to entertain my flesh, if the pastor is not going to tell me stories, going to, you know, tell 20, 30 minutes of jokes, I'm not going. You know, that you know, and goes along with also a situation that I dealt with at the store recently. There was a young man come. We buy gold, silver, everything at our store. We buy electronics, everything. Anyway, this young man walked in. He walked in with two damaged tablets, expecting us to buy it. The point is this. The point is, here I, myself, you know, I'm still old school, and, you know, you can say, I mean, I still subscribe to technology. You know, we're living in a technologically advanced world. True. Nevertheless, here I hand this man, I have every customer, whether you are getting service done, or you're trying to sell items, or you're trying to ship, everything goes on a form. Everything goes on hard copy. Okay? Because this world is all about documentation. All about documentation. That is what protects your assets, protects your, keeps you from liability, et cetera, et cetera. Nevertheless, long story short, this young man did not know how to write on a sheet of paper. He wasn't quite a young man, but he was maybe 16, maybe 17, very nearing, adult life. I had to tell this man several times to write at a specific place. This man just could not understand. He could not understand. He could not decipher what I was, explaining or telling or wanting him to do. He just could not comply. He just could not understand. He could not move from the digital stage phase that he's so used to. Mind you, he brought two tablets. Okay, he's so digitized. Okay, the launch of Matrix. You know, We're living in a digital world. Even the damn currency is digital. Anyways, this guy just could not write. I told him several times, right here, this is where you need to put your information. I mean, I have proof. I have a witness that will testify that this guy just could not understand what I was saying. And goes along with one particular teacher that is one, a regular customer. He says that all they really use in classrooms now are tablets. All they use is a digital mechanism. In other words, as pastors mentioned before, people have a hard time reading a hard copy anymore. People have been so used to seeing script on digits. Okay, so used to seeing words on a digital screen. That's what the article is talking about. That all changes with the children of today. However, to them, anything that isn't computerized, digital, and touch-enabled seems unnatural. To them, the smartphone is already an extension of the brain. To them, mind uploading, bionic implants and augmentations, and powered exoskeletons will just be par for the course. To them, transhumanism will just seem like natural evolution. And anyone who doesn't follow suit, just like those fuddy-duddies who still don't have a smartphone, will seem thoroughly inhuman. So, saints, I say all that, I read all that to help us understand the day and age that we live in. There is a serious separation from the age of wickedness. There is a serious separation expected of us. There is a serious contrast that exists between the world that we have to go into and work. Okay? As Paul says, we are not of this world, but we're in this world. But in this world, how do we still stay pure? How do we still stay true to Yahweh's ways, Yahweh's people, Yahweh's word, Yahweh's covenant? How do we still stay true? That is the burning question of this day and age. For us, those of us that are called, those that have ears to hear, how do we still stay pure in this untoward generation? How do we save ourselves? There is a serious need for the fear of Yah in the mind and the soul of man. Let me put it that way. There's a serious need for husbands to know their function, fathers to know their roles, mothers to know their roles of nurturing, wives to know their role of submission. There is a serious requirement of us. Faith has been divvied up. A measure of faith has been dispensed from the Most High Yah by His Spirit. How are we developing our faith? How are we growing in Yah by staying true to the calling Yahweh has upon each and every one of us? We are the body of the King. We are the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, how are we fulfilling the will of Yah? Or are we contrary? Are we members contrary one to another? If so, that member is going to be purged. If so, that member is going to be scalped out. If so, that member is going to be ousted. So, in this way, saints, where we're called to walk in fervent charity toward one another, be concerned about your brother's welfare, you know, and walk in obedience. That is, in fact, the fear of Yah. When He has called us from the beginning of time, He's fashioned us to be His obedient creatures, to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. I mean, in this inordinate world that we live in, I mean, that is our true challenge. That is, this is the challenge of the saints. The saints are called to walk in obedience. Saints are called to walk in the fear of Yah. And again, we touched on what that means. The fear of Yah. You know, when we read Romans chapter 9, Paul is trying to help us Israelites, those that are born in the Spirit. He also talks about Israelites of the flesh. But one is that is of the flesh is not the son of promise, is not the child of promise. He talks about Esau. He talks about Jacob. One squandered his inheritance. The other accepted his inheritance and became the fulfillment of the promise. So either we are walking in the spirit of Esau, or we're walking in the spirit of Jacob, spirit of promise. The law of the Spirit, that's what that is. Saying that is what Romans 9 is talking about. Yahweh desires those of us that are walking in the law of the Spirit. Because the other part is that wretched man trying to rear its ugly head, bringing about condemnation, guilt, self-hate, and all these unloving spirits. Okay? So, we have a decision to make. We can continue to coexist with the spirit of Esau, or we can walk as the children of promise. Bless you, saints. I pray that these words brought another level of understanding. We truly need to understand the day and age that we live in. We need to understand, you know, what is our calling? And in our calling, are we walking in the fear of Yah? Or are we going to take for granted each and every day? You know, some of the things that Pastor mentioned in the message today, I mean, I had quite a bit of takeaway, but I echoed on some of the things that Pastor went into. But really, truly was an inspiration for me. Really, truly was some big shoes to fill. I mean, saints, I mean, I tell you what, we really, truly have a man that is shown us you know, such great measure of faith that is still found wanting. I mean, you know, it all goes back to the talents. It all goes back to a little bit of skill set that has been given and how faithful we are in it, how much of a faithful steward we are. You know, this entire covenant is about being a faithful steward, you know, a faithful covenant keeper, a fulfillment of the agreement. And it's an eternal covenant. That is the truth about this covenant. It's an eternal covenant, as we delved into earlier. So there is a way, you know, that we need to walk in. Not in the way that seems right to us. Okay? Because the one that seems right to us is therefore death. Is in fact death. Okay? But end thereof is death. So the one that seems to walk in his interpretation. Either we are going to be of one mind, or we're going to
end up reaping the wages of sin. Hallelujah. Bless you, saints. I pray that this was another level of understanding that is needed in this day and age. Hallelujah. I pray that each and every one of you have a blessed week. Time is really fleeting. We really need to make the best of the time that the Father has allotted to us. That is the truth. We really, truly need to be faithful keepers of what has been given to us. You know, our mind, our time, the peace, you know, that's been given to us. Not going to let another man or anything come separate the love of Yah that has been showered on us, as it says in Romans 8. Not going to let nothing come between you and come between myself and Yah. We just cannot compromise a relationship that the covenant is all about, the relationship. We're not going to compromise that. That is the stance that we need to take in these last days. As the statement goes, we need to stand for something or we're going to fall for everything. Okay? In this age of pluralism that we live in, you know, remember, it's not just faith. It is to do with culture. It has to do with society. There's a big push for us to compromise. Bless you, saints. Pray for the pastor. Pray for the elders. Pray for one another. Let fervent charity be once again known among his people. Hallelujah. Bless you, love you, each and every one of you. Keep the faith, stay the course. Y'all bless. Y'all speed. Hallelujah.